This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, here, looking out the window saying, where's that sunshine? Oh, there she is. There's that little sunny person. My friend Charlie Dobbin.
Thanks, Frank.
You got your running shoes on. You're all set to take off, aren't you?
I'm ready to run.
Yeah, you're going to be taking off on vacation.
I am. Huh? That's that H word I haven't used for many, many years. It feels like I'm going to actually take a holiday.
Good for you.
Yeah, Elliot and I are going to spend a week. Uh-huh. Funny that now that the weather's gotten so nice, we are going to go south and just relax and beachside,
nice.
Pina colada in one hand, margarita in the other, and I'm good to go.
I would think nothing different for you, honest to God. No, that's great. Good for you.
Loaded up my Kobo with some books, so yeah. I'm, it's going to be fun.
Well, I know you got a raft of announcements. Let me get the numbers on the air here first, okay? So if you'd like to call in to Charlie, whether you have a question or a comment, you know, that's good. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. If you're a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know, our operator. And when you come to the air, you'll hear that. And your little welcoming bell, right?
Garden wings.
And our little mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. Okay?
All right. While I'm thinking about it, in case I forget later, because I won't be here next Saturday, you will be joined by Dennis Flanagan.
Oh, wait, we always have a ton of fun.
Yeah, he's going to fill in for me. So don't have too much fun.
Okay, no. No, you're guaranteed your job when you come back.
All right. In the meantime, lots going on. Tomorrow, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society is meeting 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Royal Botanical Garden Center, 680 Plains Road West in Burlington. They're meeting in rooms 3 and 4. The speaker is Jessica Bond. She will be speaking on spring rose maintenance. Of course, everyone is welcome to attend. Free entrance, free parking. The Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society holds its annual Super Plant Sale on Sunday, May 7th, so next Sunday, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie in Toronto. You will find choice plants seldom available at garden centers, beautifully grown by the members. And that is true. The Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society is quite a special group. They have members are very they're very keen gardeners, horticulturalists, many of them. And so choice plants, unusual plants, will be available at their plant sale. Flowers, foliage for sun and shade. Again, everyone is welcome. Free admission, free parking. If you want more information, www.onrockgarden.com. On Monday, May 8th, the Agent Court Garden Club meets at 8 p.m. until 9:30-ish. Mm-hmm. They're one of those groups that they have so much fun, nobody wants to go home. Location is the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. Sorry, I just kicked you.
That's okay.
In-house experts Bruce Vauden and Anne Steffener will teach everyone about how to enter a flower show. So that sounds like fun. So that's, as I said, 8 p.m. Monday the 8th. And then one more thing just to put on your calendars.
Okay.
Friday, May 12th. Well, actually, maybe I'll give you the May 10th. Well, I got two here. Riverdale Hort Society, May 10th. Regular meeting. Patricia Landry will be speaking. She's great. Mm-hmm. Staff person with Toronto Parks, Forestry and Rec. They meet at the Frankland Community Center, which is, of course, 816 Logan Avenue at 7 p.m., just south of the Danforth. And a very special Georgetown Hort Society plant sale and silent auction. Friday, May 12th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Gellert Community Center on 8th Line in Georgetown. Just in time for Mother's Day. big variety, lots of different plant materials to work from, choose from, including bags of soil, mulch, and compost.
Wow, a whole bunch to digest there.
The notes just go on and on. There's so much going on.
All righty. We'll be going on to the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio, and as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village. And we'll be back to say hi to Josephine from Pickering in just a couple of moments.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
9:15 on a rather cloudy Saturday morning, and Josephine, Charlie and I have decided that you should get a bell just for being in line first most. Okay, there you go. Welcome to the show.
Congratulations.
Want to know something that makes up for the fact that I never got a bell the first time I phoned?
Oh, well, there you are.
Here you go. You've got your wings big time now.
Yeah, you know when the sun's going to come out at 5 o'clock tonight. And then at 7 o'clock, it's going to start raining.
I know.
Oh,
it's a rainy week coming.
Thank you for those happy thoughts.
Well, just think how well everything's going to grow.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Exactly. So what's on your mind today?
Okay. I have two lawns, one on one side and one on the other side, that are crazy. They're growing thistles. They're growing dandelions. They're growing everything, including crabgrass, which I have dug up about every 5 years.
Okay.
What can I do?
How big are these lawns?
The average, I'm in Pickering, so the average lawn is, I would say it's about, about 40 by 35.
Oh, both of them, or?
Yeah, they're the same size as what mine is. So they've got,
I see what you're saying. These are the neighbors.
These thistles are going rampant. Ooh. And the one on the left-hand side of me is a real nuisance because they don't take care of their place at all.
Yeah. Well,
not much you can do about that, is there?
What you can do, there are plants like thistles are considered a noxious plant.
Very noxious, and they have deep roots.
Deep roots. The roots can go, believe it or not, for like kilometers. They're they're very hard to get rid of. You know what you do? Go on your Pickering website, your town, city, whatever it is, municipality website, and somewhere in there's going to be a bylaw that says people must do certain things to care for their gardens, front and back. And if they aren't doing that, then you can call on them, if you will, tattle on them that they are not doing what they're supposed to do. And then somebody will come, they'll send somebody out to take a look. You won't have anything to do with it. You're completely out of the loop once you've put in your complaint.
Oh, they'll know who called.
Probably, but it doesn't matter.
There's been trouble with them before, and the town, like the city's been after them before.
Oh, okay.
And not because of me.
Yeah, well, that means, so that's the problem, though, because that if somebody really isn't caring for their property and is spreading all kinds of troublesome, problematic weeds and infestations of all kinds of things nobody wants, then it is up to the officials to stop that from happening.
That, yeah.
And so they will, tell them they have to get on it. If they don't get on it, the city will take care of their garden for them and then send them a bill for it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to do any good. They take that happens a couple of times, and I don't know. I don't understand these people.
I'm not sure exactly what you can do besides that, or, again.
What can I put down?
Well, you can't really technically go on their property and do anything.
No, I mean on my property.
Oh, right now is the best time with all this rain coming. Make sure your lawn has been well raked.
Right.
Dig out anything that doesn't belong in there, whether it's a dandelion or a thistle or crabgrass. The crabgrass, though, you shouldn't be seeing quite yet.
But you can see the leaves coming.
Yeah, if you just see those little
they're
clumps,
starting to come.
Then definitely, because they're very easy to pull out with all this, with the soil so moist.
Right.
Just spend a little bit of time. Do what I do. Take a nice little cushion, sit down, nice screwdriver for digging these things out, bottle of glass of wine, bottle of wine, whatever, and get, spend the time, clean it all up, little top dressing, little seeding, and raking it around, and the rain will do the rest of the work from there.
Okay, Josephine.
I'm glad you can get down. I get down, and I have trouble getting up.
Well, there's some cool tools for that. There are some kneelers with
handles. I've got to replace some of the tools. that were damaged at the time of that accident.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, my love. Thank you very much, and good luck with that as we progress along on this Saturday morning to say hi to a listener in Georgetown. That's Sheila. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
I'd love to look after my orchids, and I've been very successful with them. But I'm not able to find any suppliers that either have those special tubs, because they seem to be plastic. I wonder why. And also the bark. I even went to Sheridan, which is just north of us here in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And they don't have any of the supplies. So I wondered
that's
where
weird.
I could go. Yeah.
And you asked them in the store?
Yeah.
And they said, no, we just don't carry anything here, because they do in their other stores.
Oh, they do? Oh, that's strange, because it's like their head office up there.
Yeah.
So I thought they would have that.
I mean, for sure they should have the orchid bark. I mean, places like Sheridan's have a wall, usually, that is set aside with small bags of potting soil for the indoor gardener. So they'll have, you know, cactus soil, African violet soil, tropical plant soil, different soils. And then often they'll have some seed starting mix and that sort of thing. But there's should always be some orchid bark there. Otherwise, you're in Georgetown. I'm not sure. It's too bad it's not closer to Valentine's Day, because right at Valentine's Day weekend every year, the Southern Ontario Orchid Society has their big event at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, and they definitely sell a lot of stuff there. Maybe it's worth checking them out on the web, the SOOS.ca, so Southern Ontario Orchid Society. Find out when they meet next, or send an email there'll be an email address, and just send a question on suggestions for where you could shop for in your area for the things you're looking for.
Thank you. I have one orchid now that's flowered so many times. I've had it 4 years.
Wow.
And I'm lucky I've got two windows, one south, one west,
nice,
in the kitchen.
Perfect.
And so they love it. And so I give the new orchids back to the girls, my daughters.
Oh, nice.
And then when they've died off, they bring them back.
Yeah, so
they call me the orchid whisperer.
good for you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that. Yeah, so I can't tell you definitively where to shop in the Georgetown area, but I am surprised that the Sheridan's there doesn't have anything. But do check out the Orchid Society. They'll be able to help you.
Thanks a lot, Sheila. Okay, and as we say goodbye to Sheila, I'll let you know that we have now lines open here at 416-360-0740. That's for Toronto area callers. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie and Frank on a Saturday morning here. The Garden Show is on the air, and we'll be talking to Francis here in Toronto in just moments.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto as we head out to, just around the corner maybe. Hey, Francis, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have a Jacqueminean climber. It's a purple one.
Yep, a clematis, yep.
Clematis, I couldn't name. Yes, and it's about 10 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the shoots, the leaves are just starting to come out. Now, should I cut off the old flower that's on there, or?
Yeah, you know what you do with a Jacqueminean clematis to really have the best show this summer is you get out your pruners and I know it's going to seem like it's a big deal, but you're going to cut that entire plant right off about 6 inches above the ground level. Yep, you're just going to go straight across. If you really want to do it properly, you'll cut each stem just above a set of buds or young leaves that are just starting to emerge, because they are little, they're in pairs on the stems. Mm-hmm. Do be careful, though, because where you're cutting, the tops can all get in the compost, but below, clematis is very, very brittle at this time of year. So you want to, when you're doing this pruning, just go across, chop, chop, chop all the way across, and then don't fool around with the plant that's down at ground level. Don't start, modifying it or, what I'm saying, like trying to shoot it in any particular direction. Just leave it alone till it starts to grow, but pull out everything that you've cut off and brown bag or compost, and you will find that you'll get a lot more stems or branching, and you should have flowers right from the bottom or right to the top. And it will grow that same 10 feet in 1 year.
Oh, I see. So shall I cut it down to about a foot or...
Yeah, a foot or less.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just right across, and I know it'll seem horrible, but it'll be the best thing you can do.
I see.
Okay.
Okay, Francis, thanks for joining us here on Zoomer Radio. Hey, here's a first-time caller now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's Ellen in Queensville. There you are. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Welcome.
My problem is regarding a hydrangea plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very large plant, and we've had it for many years. Now, the last couple of seasons, the last couple of summers, I've noticed that the leaves are all rolled up with a sticky substance, and when I unroll them, I find a small worm-like creature inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just don't know what... It hasn't killed the plant, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
However, of course, the flowering is less, the leaves are less, it doesn't look as lovely. And I'm wondering, is there any preventative measure that I could take now, just as it's coming into leaf, that would counteract this?
Does this plant flower?
Yes, it does.
Okay, that's good. Well, you know, that's a really good question. Not really. So you've got the insect you have there is called a leaf roller. Basically what it does is it does roll the leaf around itself and make that little nest for itself.
Yes.
And it puts a little bit of webbing just to stitch the rolled leaf together to keep it in that little sleeping bag form. And it hunkers down in there. And then, of course, it pupates to move on to the next part of its life cycle.
Yes.
So what can you do other than keep your eyes peeled for when that process begins? So that means, you know, visiting this plant every day.
Okay.
And watching for this, the beginning of this process. And when you, as soon as you see that rolling starting, you could at that point get out soap and water, not detergent and water, but soap and water or safer soap, just a low toxicity insecticide.
Okay.
Because the little tiny larvae or caterpillars that are going to do that rolling are on the plant at that point. And if you can contact the insect with the spray, you can kill the insects before they do that rolling.
Okay.
But timing is everything.
Okay.
And they do, I know what you're talking about. I've certainly seen them on some of my hydrangeas. And as soon as I see it, I go and I start opening the leaves up. Because the more you fight that insect, right, you just don't want to...
Clever little devils.
I know.
Yes, they
They've
are.
Evolved. They're so amazing with some of the tricks and techniques and that insects have.
That's right. They had to do that to survive.
That's right. So you just have to make life miserable for them. So as soon as they start rolling, you start unrolling.
Okay. But not necessarily pick the leaf right off?
Nope, okay. I would not, because the plant needs the leaves.
Yes, okay.
So, yeah, I would try and, don't.
Save the leaf and just, I'll look into that. And it's safer soap, is it?
Yep, safer soap. But remember, if you spray the curled leaves, like, look, I'm just showing a picture here to Frank. It's quite amazing how they do it. Look how much that's curled. It's typically the tips, like the top newest growth of the shrub that this happens to. So if you just spray with the insects inside, you won't be effective at all. The insects will not die.
No.
So you've got to, you know, get them as they're in the process of starting the rolling and open up any of the rolled leaves before you spray.
Okay. I will try to do that. It's a large plant, so it'll be quite a big task.
I know.
But I will try that. Thank you very much for your information and for your help.
Oh,
thanks,
you're
Ellen.
Welcome.
Thank you, and welcome to the show anytime, okay?
Yeah.
First time caller, Ellen from Queensville.
Coffee's always on.
9:31 here on a Saturday morning as we take a little trip to the west a little bit. Yeah, there, Cambridge. There's Marguerite. Good morning, Marguerite.
I think it's Margaret.
Oh, Margaret, is it?
I think so. Good morning.
Yes, it is.
Good morning.
Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm calling regarding roots from cedar trees from our neighbor's yard that are about 40 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
I cut them at the fence, and it seems as if they keep growing. Roots keep growing even though they're cut?
Well, actually what happens is you inspired them to grow even more by cutting them.
You're kidding.
No. So
this, okay, it's suffocates my plants.
Yeah, I know. It's a problem. So you went along with what? Like a sharp
shovel next to the fence.
And you just jumped on the shovel and sliced down into the roots?
Yes.
Right. So wherever you cut a root, new growth appeared. But instead of having one single root, you got multiple roots growing from those cut points. So it's like pruning a plant, right? So often when we prune, we cause density and more growth as a result of our pruning. So what are you going to do?
Is there a solution, like to try to kill the ones? Keep on growing. It seems as if they are.
Yep, they do keep growing. Now, they'll usually grow, if they're 40 feet tall, those are old cedars.
Oh, yes.
Typically, the growth of the roots is out on the ends of the roots, so the extremes. So the tips of the roots can be a long ways away from where the plants are, depending on the kind of plant. But, of course, cedars have a real fibrous root system. It's like a massive netting that grows beneath the plants. They're not deep-rooted. They tend to be very shallow-rooted. I'm just trying to think. There's no way you could change the grade. Even if you did add soil to your side, the roots are just going to grow up higher into whatever soil you add.
Well, that's what I've done, and that's exactly what's happening.
And I know I have in the past when I've been gardening on the opposite side of somebody else's cedar hedge, like you say, many things won't grow because the cedar is such a dominant plant. So I've used horticultural lime sprinkled on the soil on my side of the cedar hedge.
What is it, lime?
Horticultural lime. And so it is, lime will raise the pH because the cedar is dropping the pH of the soil and making it a fairly uncomfortable environment for anything other than moss to grow there. So if we add some lime to the soil, then we can go in with some plants that will thrive in a better way because it's a better pH for them. Even if it's just annual flowers, plants will be much happier that you plant around there. So don't cut any more roots, and don't bother adding any soil because you're just going to wash it all into your neighbor's yard anyway.
Well, no, these cedars are planted in a cement backyard. It's a big
planter,
patio type of thing, but they're right in the cement.
Mm. Yeah.
And so they're not getting much water, but whenever I water my plants, things are coming my way.
Well, and the roots are probably went down and then have gone out. Like they've gone down into the ground beneath the concrete barrier which they're planted into. So you're right. The roots are probably quite happy to come to your garden because there is some access to moisture and fertilizer and all the important things that plants need. So it's unfortunate, but there's not a lot you can do that I can think of.
Okay, so this lime thing, I would just put along the fence line?
Well, you'll sprinkle it on the surface of the soil. There will be instructions on the bag. You can pick up a bag of horticultural lime at any garden center or even the home stores. Mm-hmm. We'll have it at this time of year. And you're just going to, it's like a soil amendment. So you're going to sprinkle it, you're going to mix lightly, and then whatever you're trying to grow, plant it after you've added the lime.
Okay. Oh, the plants are already there. So I know, the plants where I had to pull them out and take all the roots off.
Yeah, I know. There's really not a lot.
All right, I'm going to try that.
All right.
Okay. Work. Okay. Right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Margaret.
Let us know how that works out. There's really no good solution to that.
And our good buddy in the control room there, Sebastian, says, ooh, somebody has called and wants to know your email address, Charlie. So let me give that out, okay?
Snail mail.
All right. Now, there you go.
I got it here.
Oh, have you?
Do you know it?
No.
Well, here at the station.
Off the top of my noggin?
Okay,
70 Jefferson Avenue.
That's right, yeah. So Charlie Dobbin, just, Charlie, Charlie, last name Dobbin, Dobbin. And, of course, it's care of AM740, 7070 Jefferson Avenue in Toronto. We're here in Liberty Village. We're at the corner of Jefferson and Liberty. And the postal code is M6K1Y4.
Wow, look, you so organized. Hey, I wonder how organized our friends south of the border are. Well, hey, there's Sam from Tonawanda, New York, and a first-time caller. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey.
I'd like to say hello to Frank, too, but he talks too much as it is, I think.
I like
well,
you already,
after,
Sam.
After welcoming you, I'm going to pull that welcome mat right up on you.
Don't put me on the patrol of...
you know, Patrolman Proctor, man.
The Proctor Patrol.
That's right.
Right.
What's on your mind, Sam?
Well, I got a couple of mandevilla plants that are really sick.
Mm.
I have two in a pot that's about 10 inches that has probably a total of 7 leaves on them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I sneeze, they'll be gone.
Mm.
They turn yellow and fall off.
Ooh. And these came in last fall, obviously.
Yes.
And how'd they make it through the winter? Were they fairly healthy through the winter?
They made it through the winter pretty good until about a month ago, and then they started turning yellow. I also have another mandevilla in a 3-inch pot that's sending out long runners,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a lot of growth on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is they start to get yellowish, too, and a lot of them fall off.
So did anything change in the last month or so? Did you move the plants? Have you changed your watering? Have you been fertilizing?
I've watered it. I check it with my meter.
Mm-hmm.
Probably at 5.
Mm-hmm.
On the meter.
Yeah, which is right in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay, which might be a little more often, more than you need, but go ahead. Any fertilizer? Sun? What about light levels?
Light levels, I have it in a window that's facing east.
Okay. So the brighter the better. If you had a western or a southern window, that would be brighter than east, which so that would be an option if you can move them. I would be very careful of the watering. What you want with the mandevilla is you want to water thoroughly when you water, so sufficient water that the water pours out the drainage holes at the bottom of those 10-inch pots you mentioned, because
okay.
they are in pots with holes, I assume.
Right.
And you should have a saucer below, and of course, thorough watering, the water comes out the bottom.
Right. All of that.
Yep, yeah, and then let it sit. Now, it might take, in an east window, it might take 2 weeks, might take 3 weeks. Let those plants dry down so that your meter, when you push your little probe on your moisture meter into the soil, you want it not to get right to dry, but you want it definitely towards the dry side. So these plants would be better to dry out quite thoroughly and then be watered again, thoroughly. So you want those sort of extremes. You don't want to keep them constantly moist. And that might be why you're seeing the yellow leaves. The other thing is we are at a time when plants are really responding mm-hmm. to the longer days and they're all desperate to get outside. That's why they're saying, you know, put me outside. It's gorgeous out there. We haven't had a frost in like weeks. You know, they could actually be going outside in the shade on nice days if you could kind of roll them in and out weather dependent. But it would be inappropriate when you are watering next time, mix up a flowering plant fertilizer in with the water and give them a dose of fertilizer. That will certainly help as well. And if necessary, just cut back. If you've got dead growth there, cut away anything dead. That will encourage new growth.
Well, if I scrape the bark on these, my one mandevilla has absolutely no leaves on it,
mm-hmm.
but it has a lot of tiny growth at the base of it.
Perfect. That's
but
exactly.
What happens is that tiny growth eventually just dries up and goes away.
Okay, but so that's where we need more light and less water because that little tiny growth is not using a lot of water. So you've got to allow those little tiny growths to grow, and if they get enough light, they will, and you will water when your meter tells you that you're dry enough to water. So like I said, that could be a week, it could be 3 or 4 weeks, just depending on temperature and light levels. Okay.
Now, when the weather gets better, should I stick it out in the sun?
Absolutely, but don't start sticking in the sun. Start sticking in the shade and then move into the sun over a period of 2 weeks. There you go. It's called hardening off. We're all getting ready to do that with our houseplants.
Yeah, pleasure to welcome you to the show, Sam, and do call again.
Yeah,
okay?
Thanks for calling.
Alrighty. We're at 9:40, almost 9:41, so we have to take a little bit of a break here, but we're coming back to talk to Gene in Hamilton, just another Gene in Oshawa.
Nice.
All those folks waiting to talk to Charlie, and that will happen momentarily here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, and Charlie, we're going to take a little trip to Hamilton now. There's Gene. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi, Charlie. I have a question about how to stop my 10-year-old cedars from growing. up.
Hard to do.
Yes.
I mean, plants want to grow, right?
Yes.
So they're getting too tall and out of control?
Mm-hmm.
How tall are they roughly now? About 10 feet, did you say?
No. They're 10 years old.
Oh, 10 years old, right.
They're about, 7, 8 feet, maybe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is that the optimal height? Like, you'd like them to stay right around there?
Yes, I can't look after them anymore.
Yeah, but see, that's good. That's a controllable size. It's not like they're 25 feet or something like that.
No.
So what you do is you anticipate how much growth is likely to form this growing season on the cedars. So typically in a year, cedars can grow as much as 10 centimeters, 4 inches, thereabouts.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would say, okay, if I cut today, not today, but in the next month, do a shearing of the cedars, so the sides and the tops, shearing away roughly 4 inches of growth. Then
4 inches off the top too?
Yep. And but at the end of the season, you're right where you are today.
It keeps it at that level.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
But the time to do the shearing on the cedars for any of our evergreens that require pruning is when they are actively growing, and they're not actively growing yet. It's still too early.
Okay.
So it's usually kind of mid-June, late May, depending on how the spring's working out. But you'll see that flush, that bright, bright green new growth. And as soon as that starts, that's the time to get out your hedge shears or hedge, clippers, and just do that sort of 4 inches of removal sides and top, and then stand back, and the growth will continue, and it'll cover all those blunt ends that you've pruned away.
Oh, thanks very much.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All righty. My gosh, we're just full of jeans this morning, I tell you. There's another Jean.
And we're wearing jeans, both of us.
Yeah, from Oshawa. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a ivy plant. Mm-hmm. It's leaves are turning yellow. And I've had it for a number of years, 10 years or more.
Wow.
And I've never had this problem. But I wonder if it's root-bound. It maybe it's similar to one caller you had a couple of calls back.
Well, that was... The mandevillas are a tropical plant that sometimes people really kind of put them to sleep for the winter and then wake them up in the spring, and it's easy to overwater in a situation like that where a certain amount of dormancy has taken place.
Yeah.
Has anything changed with your ivies? Have you moved them or... when was the last time they were repotted or transplanted?
Quite a long time ago.
Yeah, and it's quite a large plant?
Yes, it is. I have three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have them in a west window.
Okay, that's good. And are they in hanging baskets, or have you got them, sort of trained on a trellis, or how does it work?
No, they're just on a sideboard, whatever, a table.
Yeah. And they just trail out of the pot onto the ground, and you trim them on occasion?
Yes. Okay. I trimmed them last year and gave them to a friend of mine. But I can't understand. All these years I've had it.
Yeah. But you're right. It could be something as simple as the soil is just tired. It's been so long, and they probably are very root-bound.
Yeah.
Remember, if you put them into a bigger pot, the plants are going to get bigger. So maybe that isn't something you want. But certainly something that plants like this can really, they're pretty tough plants. So one thing you can do is spread out a bunch of newspaper, tilt the pots over, pull the plant out of the pot, then go and scrub the pot out, because if you want to put it back into the same pot, you could do this. Scrub out, because there'll be salt build up and white cakey stuff inside the pot. You have to scrub that out. Then you have your sharp little pruners. You prune away about a third of the roots.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're going to haircut the top. Bring, a third of the top will be pruned away as well.
Yeah.
You'll have some fresh potting soil on hand, fresh soil into the original pot, then the root ball back into that original pot with some fresh soil around, thorough watering, and back into that western window. You'll find that that'd be very invigorating for the plants, the pruning of roots and pruning of top growth. And at the same time, it won't end up kind of growing and taking over your house if you maintain it in that same size pot that it's currently in. But the freshening of the soil would be a very, very rejuvenating thing to do for the plants.
And wash out the pot at the same time.
Exactly. Give it a scrub.
Thank you for your wonderful help.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Always nice to hear a friendly voice like that, eh?
It sure
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
Gee, yeah. We're in moments. we have to take a little bit of a break here. It's 9:49.
Yes.
And there is Karen waiting in Waterloo, so we'll check into that location in just moments from now here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
A little bit of a shout-out, if I may, to Ron and Sue Shane, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, listening in from Waterloo.
Oh, there you go, the Waterloo crowd.
That's right. Karen can be included in that. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
How are you?
Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
Yeah, I called maybe four years ago about my lawn.
Okay.
It was all chewed up, and we put down some landscape fabric, I think it's called, and built the lawn up from scratch again.
Right.
And now we seem to be having the same problem. And I think you had recommended nematodes.
Yes.
We did get those, and it helped for a while. But as I said, things have deteriorated.
Okay. Did you actually put fabric down beneath the lawn?
No, on top of the existing lawn, and then we built it up again with soil.
Okay. So you changed the grade of the lawn. The whole thing went up a few inches. Okay. And that didn't cause a problem in terms of drainage of water, et cetera?
No. My husband had, he had made like channels around the lawn. It was great for a while, but then, we're back to square one right now.
So what I'm thinking is, for those of us that can sort of flash back to last summer, it was very warm and it was very dry. So we had some extensive, what would be considered drought conditions. No plant likes extreme drought. And when they are subjected to extremes, like extreme heat and extreme dryness, plants become very stressed. When plants are stressed, they don't always die, but they are under stress and thus very susceptible to problems happening. Now, the way the grubs work is that they are pretty smart and they go after an unhappy lawn and they chew the roots away from that unhappy lawn because it's easier to chew on unhappy plants than happy plants. It's interesting how that works.
Wow.
But the healthier you can keep your plants, the less likely they are to be infested with a disease or an insect. So what I would do is, again, the repair needs to happen. It's pulling weeds. It's top dressing with some good quality soil. Overseeding with a good quality grass seed. Beautiful rain is coming, which is going to get all that grass growing up nicely for us. In August, every year without fail, consider getting a hold of those nematodes, following the directions on the package, and applying those nematodes, particularly to the area where you seem to be getting grub damage consistently, because that the eggs are typically laid in the same spot every year. So if you have some damage, it's likely that you'll have damage again in the same spot if the conditions are right. So to avoid.
Every year?
Yeah. Just to avoid it, it's preventative, right? You're trying to prevent the problem of the grubs getting started, because once they get started, they can really wreak havoc on the lawn. I speak from experience. I had to replace my entire back lawn last year where the grubs just, they started and you couldn't stop them.
Yeah,
you couldn't stop them once they started. So
Charlie, is there an alternative to the nematodes?
Nope, not in Canada. No, we used to have a soil insecticide that was applied same timing, August, September, that was quite a strong insecticide that would be applied, like I said, to the soil. And the idea was to kill those baby larvae just when they were chewing away there late in the summer.
And that's been disallowed now, right?
It's no longer allowed in Ontario. It hasn't been since 2008. So all we can do now is use a biological control, which is using a living entity to annihilate another living entity. So the nematodes really work, but it's really important that you follow all those instructions about moisture in the lawn and watering afterwards and temperature is important, et cetera, et cetera. But they do work.
Okay, Karen?
Alrighty. Sorry, I wish I could have better. It was easier. The other thing
Bearer,
is lawn.
Great news.
Well, the other thing would be a lawn alternative. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, you know what? Forget the lawn. Let's look at something else. If it's shady, we have, you know, ground covers. If it's sunny, we have ground covers that aren't lawns.
Okay.
All right.
Well, for the second time this morning, we're going to go across the border. Head south there to Auburn, New York this time.
Nice.
There's Kevin. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Good evening, or good morning.
good morning.
I listen to the show all the time.
Oh, great.
I have a poinsettia plant. It has all the colors, and it still has the foliage of the dry leaves on top. And there's a little bit more height to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's new green growth, and I'm watering it frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But the red is all towards the sunlight, and the green is towards the back.
Yeah.
I was wondering if am I supposed to trim that and then put it in dormancy?
No. Trim it down and treat it like a house plant. As soon as the weather is, we're frost free, I'd get it outside. Leave it in the pot. Just put it in a shady spot outside. Water as necessary. It will grow quite green and bushy outside in your garden. Then come September or late August, you'll bring it in, and then you'll start that dark light program that we talked about, you know, 12 hours of dark and 12 hours of light get it to color up again in time for Christmas.
I thought that you just put a cover on it and cut it, covered it, and then left it till August, and then opened it up.
No, it will die if you do that.
I see how you do it now. I can bring it outside. I'll do that.
In the next month, get it outside.
Okay.
But yeah, if you cover any plant and leave it alone for any extended period of time, it will die. So yeah, I mean, unless it's a bulb or something that can truly go dormant, poinsettias don't ever really want to be dormant. They want to keep growing. But the coloration is a light, dark procedure that we have to do.
Do I transplant it?
If it's got roots growing out of the bottom of the pot, you could consider that, yep. But do prune it back now. That will help it to be a bushier, more dense, better-looking plant next fall when you're getting all the color back into it.
Okay.
I take that foil off and put it outside for the root to grow.
Yep. Sounds good.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care of Auburn, New York for us.
I think that's the first time we've had a poinsettia question in almost May.
Yeah,
It's the end of April.
That's true, too.
I know. Yeah. I know. Those poinsettias are quite causing a certain amount of dismay for people trying to figure out how to make them do their thing. But did I ever tell you, first time I ever saw a poinsettia growing in its natural environment?
No.
It was a tree. It was maybe 30 feet tall in Mexico. And
really?
I was in Mexico years and years ago, right around Christmas, just like after Christmas. And there was this tree, and it was completely red on the top. The whole canopy was red. And of course, it was green underneath. And I'm standing there going, that's a poinsettia. You know, I knew them from home, like little houseplants. I'd never seen an actual poinsettia tree. And that's exactly how they grow. And the reason it works there is because near the equator, you've got 12 hours of dark and 12 hours of light.
Of course,
and in rural parts of Mexico, no street lights, no lights at all.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock, Charlie, and we only have about half a minute left.
We do.
For me to wish you a wonderful holiday.
Oh, thank you.
You and Elliot have a wonderful time.
Yeah, it's going to be a great
break. I'll take care of the shop as best I can with Dennis.
Sure, you'll be okay.
Yes, okay.
Thank you, Frank, and have a good show this afternoon.
You betcha. I'll be there 1 to 3:30.
All right, I'll see everybody again in 2 weeks.
Yes.
Bye for now.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.